This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it rolling here on a Monday night. That's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray as we're watching a little FCS National Championship. Montana State strikes first against the Redbirds of Illinois State, and a top 10 team in action in college basketball. Nebraska and Ohio State, 11 minutes to go. The Cornhuskers up 3 over Ohio State.
How strange does that sound? Top 10 team in college basketball, Nebraska.
Indiana. They're a basketball school, Matt.
Indiana is number one in football. Nebraska is number 10 in basketball. What the hell is going on here?
Bizarro world. That is what is happening right now. And Johnny Avello, he's going to make us figure it out with his insight. Let's do that right now as he gives us the latest.
Where are the lines changing? And where's the money going? Let's go behind the counter.
And as mentioned, the man who runs things over at DraftKings Sportsbook, the legend, Johnny Avello, joins us right now. And before we dive into the NFL, would you like some interest on the game that's going on right now?
I do want to find out what's happening in DraftKings on Monday Night Football, Johnny.
Bum, 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 bum.
Much smaller scale. It's the FCS National Championship game, Illinois State and Montana State. Bobcats up 7-0 first quarter. Johnny, what type of betting interest does this draw at DraftKings tonight?
Not awful. Not great. The only, I think the only
not
comparison
awful, not great.
It's, I mean, it's okay. It's, we have a big network, so it writes a fair amount of money. It is the only football game on, and I think the only comparison with Monday night is the MON in Montana and MON in Monday. That's about it. Mm-hmm. They did play Montana State a little bit, although the line didn't move much, 10.5. They did bet the total from 56.5 up to 58.5. But, you know, no big decisions like some we had over the weekend.
Johnny, are you guys live in the state of Tennessee?
Yes. Oh, yes, we are.
I got to imagine. We've been told that the entire city of Bozeman is in Nashville right now. So I'm sure they fired up their DraftKings apps and were peppering the Bobcats while they were down there on Broadway taking in Illinois State and Montana State. So Johnny Avello joining us here courtesy of our Progressive guest line. Before we look ahead to the two playoff games, what do you got, Matt?
I'll give you the live line. Montana State 7-0 right now, and we have a flag on the field. Looks like Illinois State's going to get a first down.
Roughing the punter.
Yeah, roughing the punter. The live number of DraftKings, Montana State minus 14.5 and the total 54.5.
Johnny, how was the right last night with Ravens Steelers, and was that 26-24 Steelers victory a good outcome for you guys?
It actually was. The right was the biggest of the day, of course, and it's justifiable. It's the last game and the game with the most meaning yesterday. And we did pretty good on it. That the way that ended worked out well for us, so there were no complaints there. My only complaints was with some of the coaches, and I heard you guys talking about coaches, you know, that where all the openings are. And we've got a line up on, you know, who's going to be the next coach for each one of those spots. But when I look at the game last night and there's 20 seconds left, and you got a rookie kicker that's going to kick the football, and it's a difficult atmosphere, and it's always a tough place to play. And why not go for another 5-6 yards? Why not run your main guy up the middle, try to maybe break it? But what these guys do with this going back and getting on one knee and losing 2 yards, it just makes no sense to me. And so some of the coaches, I know that he's probably not on the hot seat. He may leave on his own accord, but they just do things sometimes that I think us, the bookmakers and the football lovers see and say, you know, why?
Johnny, week 18 was a wild one. Obviously, the Bengals getting upset probably helped you at DraftKings. What were some of the biggest winners or losers for DraftKings on Sunday?
Well, you named one right there. The Bengals was a good one. Bears losing to Lions, that was also a good one. Saints and Falcons, that also worked out pretty well. They thought the Saints would, and they did hang around in the game. They just didn't get there. Giants Cowboys was another. Some that weren't so good. Colts Texans, Patriots Dolphins, Jaguars Tennessee, and Rams Cardinals. And Bills. Bills was another one. So
that's right.
Kind of a split mix, but overall a pretty good day in the NFL for week 18. That's usually that's a tough week. I mean, we don't know who's in, who's out, who's trying, who's not. But overall, it turned out okay.
Yeah, so many of those big favorites got there, and some of them got there. Most of them got there pretty easily. I think if you bet the Jets yesterday, Tim, halfway through the first half, you're probably questioning what you were doing with your life. Why would you bet the Jets? It's one of the worst teams, one of the worst coached teams.
As many interceptions as the Jets had this year.
Exactly. 35-8. The Bills. Josh Allen took one snap, left the game, and the Bills still win 35-8. Yesterday, Johnny, you mentioned the Rams there at the end of your comment. How about this playoff line this week with the Rams? 10-point favorites of Carolina. That line looks a little bit high, but what type of betting action have you taken on that so far?
Rams opened up 10 up to 10.5. So the early money is on the Rams. I'm sure it'll be some Carolina money. I'm not so sure how many people are going to pile on the money line on Carolina in this one. I mean, they backdoored and got in. They just don't look that good. The Rams will still look like a powerhouse team, even though they're coming out of the wild card side of it. They have all the components. They're very capable of winning it all. I would expect that we'll have Rams money line on a lot of parlays moving forward.
Johnny Avello, DraftKings Sportsbook, joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line. Let's go chronologically. Saturday night, you get a showdown between two rivals. I believe this is just the third time that the Packers and Bears have played each other in the playoffs. And correct me if I'm wrong, you've seen a flip of favorites here. Bears opened as a slight dog. Now, very, very slight favorite at DraftKings.
Actually, for us, Timmy, we opened up the Bears 1.5. We're still 1.5. So we have not moved, although we have elected not to move off of that number yet and just move the money a little, and we're taking mostly Packer money. So I would expect that trend to continue. I think we'll probably need the Bears in this one by the time it goes off.
All right, let's go to Sunday. We've got Bills, Jaguars, and it's a unique wild card weekend. We've got a lot of home underdogs, which I know is probably making Matt Eumanns pretty intrigued. Jaguars right now, a slight dog against the Bills. What have you seen so far in this one?
Very slight and not much movement on the line. I would say that's the game we probably have the better balance on. Mm-hmm. One thing that they did play in that game is the total over. We went right through the key number of 51. We're at 50.5, the opener, now 51.5 and going up.
All right, how about the Niners and the Eagles? And Philadelphia blows the 2 seed, but gets to host 49ers here, laying 4.5, total of 44.5 at DraftKings. What do you think of the Eagles resting starters in general on Sunday and then in this matchup against San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, that was the game plan for the coach, and he wasn't going to change that, although there was a time maybe at the end I was thinking, you know, he knows what's going on in the Bears game. Does he want to, you know, flip and put some starters in, but didn't faze him one bit. As for this game, Eagles 3.5 was the opener. We're up to 4.5. They like the Eagles in this spot. 49ers are not a healthy team. Might get a few guys back this week, but they will not be 100%. And they also like the game under 46.5 down to 44.5. So that's been all under at this point.
A lot of people talking negatively about the San Francisco defense, but that really wasn't the issue Saturday night, Tim. 13-3, the offense. Brock Purdy and the offense got shut down by that Seattle D. Really good game Sunday night, Johnny. Chargers and Patriots in Foxborough. I believe you're at 3.5 on New England, right?
We are 3.5. That was the opener, no movement. This one has been bet over. The opener was 45.5 up to 46.5. You know, his Chargers elected to rest everybody. So, and they're traveling to the East Coast, and it'll be, you know, that's 8 o'clock Eastern time. So it'll be probably a little cold back there. A lot of West Coast teams traveling, you know, going to cold spots. So we'll see how that works out for some of these teams.
Wrap it up, Johnny. Monday, a week from today, we'll talk to you prior to the start of this one. Texans and Steelers, Monday Night Football in Pittsburgh. They get a bit of a late Christmas present, if you will, with that missed field goal. And now they're a home dog again against the Texans.
You know, our network usually likes to bet that home dog, especially on the money line. And this spot, you would think they might do that, but not going to happen. I mean, I think the Texans are going to be, I think the Texans will go to 3.5. We were at 3.5 at one point. We're 3-20. Saw a little bit of Steelers money, but this is mostly a one-sided betting game so far. Total 39.5. I think the whole world likes the Texans right now with their 9-game winning streak and knowing that the Texans are going to put some serious pressure on Aaron Rodgers in this one.
Well, if you say the whole world likes that side, I might be on the other side.
Matt betting Mike Tomlin as a home underdog. Never heard of that.
Just did it 24 hours ago.
Hey, Johnny, always appreciate it. Enjoy the games this week. It should be a very busy week for DraftKings with games starting Thursday all the way through Monday.
Very much so. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
There he is, Johnny Avello. Matt, we just had a touchdown wiped off the board. You can't push defenders in the back. And that is what was called offensive pass interference. End of the first quarter down in Nashville.
A lot of clock being used up on this drive, though. Like you said, end of the first quarter, 7-0, so trending under.
Montana State, a 7-0 lead. We'll get you updated on Ohio State, Nebraska. Looks like this one has a chance to come down to the wire. 10th-ranked Cornhuskers and their 18-game winning streak.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Is that ranked mass?
Oh, man. Nebraska gets a 1.
It is.
And it was a less than ideal play. Ohio State, good
like
defense.
Tim Murray in high school.
A little spit on the baseline, couple spins, a little and then, I'm just going to throw it up. And one. 59-58 is the score.
Rick Mass, really talented big man for Nebraska. Doesn't get a lot of media hype, but this kid he's talented. He's been around. He's a man. 11 points, 4 rebounds. He's not 40, but he looks like he's about 35, doesn't he?
He does look pretty old.
And he converts the and one, 60-58 Nebraska, 4.5 minutes ago.
Started his college career at Bradley, 3 years at Bradley. This is his second year at Nebraska. Yeah. And the Corn. Up 60-58 right now. Went off as a slight road dog in this spot. It's been a good second half. Ohio State was down 8 in the first half. They have battled back. I have pregame, a little Ohio State money line, and I also took Ohio State +4 at halftime. So we'll see if one, two, or none of those bets come home here. Update on our game of the night. We had a Illinois State touchdown wiped off the board. It was a right call. It was a offensive pass interference called against the Redbirds. They had then at 3rd and 25, so they had to punt the ball back to Montana State. So Montana State starting at their own 20-yard line, their first drive right down the field for a score. And we will see if Montana State can up their lead. What were the bets? Kenny White liked the dog.
So Kenny White and Randy McKay both on Illinois State. Kenny's got 10. Randy bet 10.5, but 10 was the contest number. Kenny White also under 56.
Okay.
Josh Nunn was on with us to kick off the show tonight, and I think he played this over, right?
Yeah.
So Montana State would probably score in the 40s, and there's still a chance. This Bobcats offense can be explosive. Right now, backed up inside their own 15 as they start the second drive, and on cue, Justin Lamson with a pass out near midfield. and Montana State in business.
And you would imagine, I already mentioned it, you know, with the portal now open, Justin Lamson, a guy who has played at Stanford.
He's really good.
Started his career at Syracuse. Sometimes going to the FCS ranks and kind of upping your value is it's not the worst thing in the world. We saw it with a number of quarterbacks, Mether Whitby, starting the career there or
not. How about
not.
Trinidad Shambliss?
Yeah, he was D2. Ferris State. There was
Ferris State.
How about this, Matt? There was a report that Temple thought they had Trinidad Shambliss locked in to come, and ultimately he ends up at Ole Miss, gets convinced by Charlie Weiss Jr. and Lane Kiffin to go down there.
Oh, well, you got to be kidding me.
That was fun.
Did you see that?
I did. Yep. Nebraska, by the way.
Let me explain what happened.
Yeah.
Rank Mass drove into the lane, got a shot swatted in his face, gathered the ball again, missed the layup, swats the ball out. There's a scramble for the loose ball. Nebraska picks it up and drains a 25-footer and goes up by 5.
Just a tie game
That's
a moment ago.
That's tough luck right there if you got the Buckeyes.
Matt, I want to later.
I interrupted what you're saying about Trinidad and Shambliss, but Justin Lamson at Montana State this season, if you're watching him tonight, and was this a fumble?
I think it's a targeting on Illinois State.
Okay. Lamson's 72% completions, 24 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's also rushed for 704 yards and 14 touchdowns. Temby's got 38 touchdowns and 3 turnovers and over 3,500 yards of offense, a 72% passer for a Montana State team that's 13-2 going into tonight. I got to think Justin Lamson's going to be cashing in the transfer portal after this game tonight. And give us an update on Nebraska-Ohio State.
There's nothing worse than hope. That is the update. Nebraska on a 7-0 run. Got an and-one after the timeout. 2:18 to go. The Corn have upped their lead to 7. And it looks like Nebraska will up their NCAA leading winning streak to 19 games.
How about the son of the mayor, Sammy Hoiberg, tonight? I said he's probably about 5'10". He looks like a small guard out there. He's listed at 6 foot. He's got 8 points. He's made 2 threes, 4 assists, only 1 turnover in 33 minutes. Here's what's most impressive about Sammy Hoiberg. He's got 9 rebounds tonight, Tim.
Nine rebounds.
How does that guy get 9 rebounds? Man, that's his guts and high basketball IQ.
You know who needs to be promoting this winning streak? The Crown. Nebraska came to Vegas
and won that tournament.
They lost their last 5 regular season games, came to Vegas, won 4 in a row, won the tournament, and now, Matt, they haven't lost all year. So they have the longest winning streak going in college basketball.
No question.
And it looks like this winning streak will continue, and I will lose both my bets. So fun times.
You had 2 bets on this game?
I bet them again in game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so looked good for a little bit, but as the philosopher Matt Mumans lets me know, there's nothing worse.
Justin Lamson scrambles for 8 yards. The more I like watch
this
quarterback, I really like this quarterback. Somebody's got to buy this quarterback from Montana State, and that's not meant as a negative about the Bobcats. But there's so many team programs out there with money to spend on a quarterback. We're talking about $5 million, $3 million, $2 million bounced around for quarterbacks. What do you think Lamson can get? I'm sure he could get $2 or $3 million. From
sure,
a
why
program.
Not?
There's got to be a Big
desperate,
Ten program.
There's been a desperate quarterback program out there.
Of course.
I mean, LSU hasn't have a quarterback yet, but it's a trickle-down effect, right? You know, it's you see the big guys going to different spots, wherever that may be, and eventually there's going to be a program that's going to feel desperate and need a quarterback.
By the way, that run was wiped out by a penalty, so.
I'll be honest. Watching this game tonight, it's been pretty sloppy. There have been a lot of a lot of penalties so far in this game.
I got to be honest. The first half of the Indiana-Alabama game was pretty sloppy, too.
That is true.
Right.
Matt, last night was a wild finish. Winner take all, going to the postseason. Game 272 comes down to a missed extra point and then a missed field goal. Would you like to set up the clip we're about to play from Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, I would. Mike Tomlin, step up to the mic. We used to have a feature, JVT, and I love to play Tomlin clips on this show. And this guy, he's a great speaker, very dramatic speaker. He's got some good lines. He's also, Tim, I don't know if you know this, never had a losing season.
I've heard that. Okay. I've heard that before.
Well, yeah. 10-7, the Steelers go this season. They win last night. Had to catch a lucky break at the end with the slice kick wide right. But Mike Tomlin was asked about his future. If you had lost this game Sunday night, would you take a different job? Were you going to leave the Steelers? There were rumors, reports that he was going to be headed for a TV job.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was going to be the next coach of the Jets, whatever. He was asked, Mike, what would have happened if you would have lost this job tonight?
Lost this game. Kick, season's over, comes to a screeching halt, and missing that kick and the winner going on.
You know how it is. If my aunt had male parts, she'd be my uncle.
Okay. He didn't want to deal with the ifs.
I don't blame him. And Pittsburgh going back to the playoffs, another non-losing season. Let's go.
Wow,
friendly roll,
that?
Baby.
The ball bounces in on the 3, 2 minutes to go. Buckeyes within five. Here's the thing. I've heard from so many people in the last 24 hours who were watching that game last night. The Steelers are no threat to advance in the playoffs. This team stinks. They're doing it with smoke and mirrors. When so many people have that same opinion, you got to start to think about the other side.
Geez.
You got to start to think contrarian and think that maybe this team could surprise some people in the playoffs. With this number of 3.5, I'm going to be on the Steelers next Monday night. Tim, we're going to be sitting here 1 week from tonight. I will be on the Steelers.
Watch this play,
getting
man.
More than a field goal. I was watching it.
Nothing worse than hope,
I'll tell you what, this Nebraska team – the scrappy.
They are very scrappy.
They're well coached.
Feisty.
They play hard. Feisty. They play hard. They're well coached. And look at this. Off the inbounds pass, they draw a foul and going to get 2 free throws. And Fred Hoiberg doing just a hell of a job with Nebraska's basketball team. Like you said, the longest winning streak in the country.
Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch in just a absolute brutal conference.
You know what's disappointing? Nebraska does not host Michigan in Big Ten play.
Really?
Yeah, I looked that up last night because I wanted to see when this team was going to get tested. Nebraska plays at Michigan on January 27th. Does not host Michigan, which is a bit disappointing. But when these conferences get so big, you can't play every team home and home. Justin Lamson, touchdown run, 13-0 Bobcats, early second. Well, where are we at here?
Second quarter. Yeah, 10 minutes ago. Yeah. And the finishing touches right now being put on Ohio State. As we've got a run for Nebraska, Ohio State battled back, took the lead. You know, I think it's Will Hill, and I'm not saying he's the only one, but I know Will Hill always likes to bet on teams or against teams after they make that run to kind of get the lead. And it's a decent angle as you get to that threshold of tying the game up. We'll see how this one plays out. Maybe it's going to be like the Notre Dame-Cal game.
I doubt it. I can't recall a game that's been quite like the Notre Dame-Cal game where you had a 4-point play at the end. Look at this. Steal by the Buckeyes. Dunk. 2-point game. Tim Murray has hope.
Nothing worse than hope. But if you do have hope to bet, how about Boomer Sportsbook, Matt? It's the best time of year for bettors. The all-new Boomer Sportsbook is bringing you the action. Football, hockey, basketball. Use the code VSIN250 when you sign up for a Boomer's mobile account, and they'll match your first deposit up to $250. Learn more at betwithboomer.com. Let's talk some college hoops with Aaron Moore next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. 23 seconds to go. Nebraska up 3 on Ohio State. And Fred Hoiberg's son will be headed to the free throw line. I don't even know. Before he even shows it, I'm going to say it's like a 90. Wow.
73.
I was going to say like 90%.
You would think that Sammy Hoiberg would be about a 90% free throw shooter, but he's 73%. And this is going to be his first three free throw attempts tonight. 24 seconds to go. Huskers up 3 on Ohio State and going right down to the wire like we thought it probably would tonight. Buckeyes close 2-point favorites.
All right, let's head to our progressive guest line where I'm sure our next guest has been monitoring this game, all the college basketball.
Hoiberg misses.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Ooh, and they're going to foul.
Bruce
Matt.
Sorry.
By the way, I got to ask the professor because he was probably up watching
it. By the way, Nebraska's got 2 fouls to give. That's why they fouled there. Anyway, go ahead.
Have you ever witnessed anything as bizarre as the finish to Notre Dame-Cal on Friday night?
No, I haven't. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later because I was afraid for Micah Shrewsbury. He's one of my favorite coaches. And I thought, don't do this. Your career could come to an end in Berkeley. And that was a tough one for Notre Dame. And it was, I thought, a bad call. Anyway, we're trying not to call play-by-play here on Nebraska and Ohio State. We want to talk with Aaron Moore, the professor.
He's there. Okay. So let's bring him in. The Charger fan. So how are we feeling about Sunday night football in Foxborough, Chargers and Patriots?
As a Chargers fan, Tim, I feel pretty good. And the idea of this game being on the East Coast is obviously an issue for the Chargers traveling from the West Coast. But Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, that works in the Chargers' favor. And a lot of times when they've made the playoffs in the last 20 years or so, these games have not done well for them from being a West Coast team. So I like the time. I like the situation. I love the matchup. One of the things that I've been hearing a lot of is Denver is the worst number one seeded team. Well, how about New England being the worst number two seeded team? And yes, they had a great record. Drake May might be the MVP, but you have to take that schedule. You have to take into account the quarterbacks they played, the teams they played. This works well in the Chargers' favor. Now, obviously, they can lose all time. The Chargers have lost all three games to the Patriots every time they've played in the playoffs. But just from a fan standpoint, I feel pretty good about the Chargers. From a betting standpoint, that 3.5 that's out there, I think you have to look at that because the Chargers did not play their main players on Sunday against Denver, but the defense still looked pretty good. And I think Jesse Minter's defense is going to play that type of prevent, bend, don't break, and not really give up a lot of touchdowns to New England. And I think the Chargers stay in the game throughout.
I can imagine some Patriots fans probably feeling disrespected by the professor's words right there. Aaron Moore, sports media professor and a VSiN contributor. Follow him at Public Relation Prof. 3.5 is the number. Do you think that's where it closes? Do you think it goes to 4? Are you going to take the points with the Chargers? And how about the total of 46?
Yeah, I would look at the under in this situation because I think the Chargers are going to play a conservative style. That's what worked out well for them in the past. They're just not going to expose Justin Herbert to a lot of passes, a lot of dropbacks. I think it's going to be very quick. And as I said, Jesse Minter's defense has been playing really well. So I would look at the under there. And I think maybe even the line might go the other way. Matt, maybe it goes to 3, where there, as the week progresses, there might just be questions about New England, their record, Drake May now in the playoffs. What's behind that record? A lot of games against the New York Jets. That's the way I look at it.
All right. By the way, Nebraska wins 72-69. Ohio State got a three-point look from the corner with a couple seconds left. No good. And Cornhuskers stay undefeated. They will move on to Bloomington, Indiana next. Maybe the Hoosiers are going to be worth a look in that game. We're talking NFL and college hoops here with Aaron Moore. And Aaron, 3.5 the number. Patriots are favored there. Anything else jump out to you on the board in the first round of the playoffs this weekend that you think is worth a bet right now?
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I like Jacksonville as the home dog. And I hate to say it because I think they really are going to be that popular dog. And the way I look at that Jacksonville-Buffalo game is, yes, Josh Allen played last game, but he took one snap. To me, there's something wrong with his foot. His running is just not the same as it's been. So I think that part of him being a great weapon in terms of running and throwing, I think you have to question how much he's going to be able to run, the power running, and Buffalo's defense has holes in it. I think Jacksonville is really being disrespected here. To be honest, I'm not sure why they are the underdog. They're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence has shown that he can carry this team. Etienne out of the backfield is a weapon. They've got the defense. I really like Jacksonville, and I say that now I'm worried because I do think you're going to see this throughout the week. A lot of people talking about take the Jags. They're the home dog. Let's take those points. And we just know from betting experience, the popular dog tends to be a side you really don't want to be on in the end.
Talking once again to Aaron Moore, the professor. Always love to talk college basketball with the professor. Not a great night tonight, but tomorrow, pretty loaded slate. So let's get to Texas Tech and Houston. And we've seen some over money come into the market. Market now up to 141.5 on this total. What do you make of this game tomorrow night in Houston?
Tim, I like the over in this one. I got it a little bit earlier. And one of the things I like in this situation is if it's going to be Houston, Texas Tech, your immediate reaction is going to be, well, let's take the under here, especially after Houston had a really ugly game, 67-60 against Cincinnati on Saturday. But I took the over here. And one of the main situations to look at is Texas Tech really does have one of the best offenses in the country. They're averaging 85 points a game. You've got Toppin with 21 points a game, Christian Anderson scoring 20 a game. The Texas Tech offense is very good. And I think these two teams, with their familiarity going at each other, I just don't think with Houston's desire to slow the game down, Texas Tech is not going to be able to be slowed down. They're just consistently in the 80s. So I like this situation going with the over, because when you think about Houston, you want to say under. But in this situation, I took the over.
Aaron, about to get underway in East Lansing between USC and Michigan State. At Circa, Spartans 12-point favorites, total of 151. That's where it's going to go off tonight. And USC a bit shorthanded for that game. Tom Izzo off a loss, no play for me tonight. You wrote a column on vsin.com over the weekend about college basketball futures. And some of the teams you wrote about are going to be in action on Tuesday. Really good Tuesday schedule in college hoops, Aaron. We're going to see St. John's, Florida, Duke, Michigan, and others in action. Kind of summarize what you wrote about this weekend and where you think there might be some value on the futures board.
Yeah, Matt, I do have an article up on VSiN.com looking at college basketball futures and looked at it in a different angle, multiple different angles. One of the aspects that I wrote about, and I think it's an interesting talking point, is the Big 12 is going to beat the hell out of each other. We're just talking about Houston, Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. I think all those losses really impact the futures board because these teams are going to move up and down. And really, the Big 12, I think, is the key to the college basketball season. One of the futures that I wrote about relating to the Big 12 is I love at this situation, you can get BYU plus 650 to make the Final Four. And I was a little bit hesitant on backing BYU, as great as AJ DeBanza is and the hype, it's real, but I was afraid to back him in the beginning just because as a freshman. But what we've seen this season, it really is the season of freshman stars. So I'm looking at him at plus 650. I really like what BYU has. They have Kata in the middle. You have Saunders scoring, DeBanza scoring in the mid-20s. They really are an impressive team. And I think that plus 650 to make the Final Four is a good number to have in your portfolio because this is a team that went to the Sweet 16 last year. They're better. And if they can get to a regional final at plus 650, I think that's really a good piece to have in terms of monetizing. Another one I wrote about in the column is I think you have to look at UConn getting out of that Big East. That really isn't that tough. St. John's is down to 9-5 so far this season. So the Big East is not going to be as tough as we thought it was. I think UConn could ride that to a number one seed. So you look at UConn, I think that's one of the better futures on the board right now. You can get them to win the national championship around 10-1.
Aaron, I've got UConn, I think, at around 15-1. I've got Michigan at 20-1. Unfortunately, St. John's looks like a bomb. I think I've got St. John's around 20-1. Very discouraged by that team. How about Houston? Did you ever play anything on Houston here in the final 30 seconds or so before we wrap it up? But Houston got up around 25-1 at one point here, Aaron.
Yeah, I got them, Matt. It was, I think, 13-1. I don't want to add at this point just because, as I said, the Big 12, what that's going to do to teams and what that's going to do to seeding is going to lead to some questions. But at the same time, don't be surprised if Kelvin Sampson gets that team at least to the regional finals.
Aaron Moore, always appreciate your insight, sir.
Thanks, guys. Good luck to you.
There he is. Aaron Moore, the professor. Let's get you updated on what's unfolding in the FCS championship.
Mm-hmm.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
About to get underway in East Lansing, USC and Michigan State, as the Michigan State Spartans will go off as 12.5 point favorites at FanDuel, 12 point favorites here at Circa, Matt. It's a pretty big number, but as the professor just said, this is not a fully healthy USC squad.
It's also not going to be a fully healthy Louisville squad taking on Duke tomorrow. Did you see that? Mykel Brown, the star freshman guard, is still out. So Duke is going to open a 1.5 point favorite at Louisville. Cardinals off a road loss over the weekend. Road loss at Stanford, Tim.
Yep.
How does that happen?
I don't know. After Stanford had scored, what, 30 points against Notre Dame?
I thought it was 40.
Yeah.
Was it 47-40? Was that the score?
I think that was the final score, yeah. Chad Baker Mazzara, is he playing tonight?
I believe he's playing.
He's not starting.
But is that right?
I didn't see him.
Well, sometimes Musselman might have him come off the bench, but I think USC's down a couple of players tonight.
Yeah, Rodney Rice still remains out for USC. That's certainly a big loss there. So we will see if Musselman's squad can keep it competitive as the Izzone is popping there in East Lansing.
Yeah, last year the Spartans were off to a hot start. They went to L.A. and they made that trip through USC and UCLA and had a tough time of it. So a bit of a revenge game tonight. USC beat Michigan State a year ago. Revenge game tonight for the Spartans. Izzo off a loss at Nebraska. Didn't want to bet against Izzo tonight. Seems like a lot of points, but probably seemed like a lot of points when USC went to Michigan, getting 22 or 23 and lost by 30.
We'll circle back to college basketball a little bit later on in the show. We did have a best bet from the professor. He likes over in Texas Tech Houston tomorrow night. That number has moved a little bit since where he bet it. Hour number three, we'll chat with Wes Reynolds, the Indiana Hoosier legend. Some might think he is. USC, by the way, takes an early lead here. It is 14-0 in the FCS National Championship. Montana State with that lead. Matt, earlier today, talking about the Bills and Jaguars game, we just heard the professor's thoughts on Bills-Jaguars. He likes the Jags as a slight home dog. John Hansen, the guru, he gave his thoughts on Bills and Jags earlier today on VSiN.
The Buffalo Bills at Jacksonville. It's going to be a good one. And this is the toughest call right out of the gate. Buffalo minus 1.5. I'm taking the Jags. I really am. I'm taking the Jacksonville Jaguars. I can't believe it, but they're playing so much better. Buffalo Bills are a highly flawed team. Too reliant on Superman, basically. And Josh Allen, that cape's starting to get, it's got a lot of holes and a lot of wear and tear on that cape that they make Josh Allen put because the coach, in my opinion, is mediocre. So I'm going to go with the momentum and the performances of the Jaguars down the stretch has been amazing. I mean, they're kind of the best team in football over the last 5-6 weeks. So upset alert there.
All right. John Hansen going with the Jags as slight home dogs against the Buffalo Bills, man.
I like a lot of what he said there with one exception. You can't say minus 1.5.
1.5. We'll
get, come
we'll,
on, man.
We'll get
come
it. We'll on. Get it to him.
He can't say that. He's right, though. Bills are got a mediocre coach. I said a few years ago on this network that Sean McDermott probably needed to be replaced. If the Bills did not want their window to close on Josh Allen, McDermott was probably not the guy to get him there. He's not a good game manager. He's not proven to be a defensive wizard either. Some Buffalo Bills fans who are a little bit too sensitive got upset by that. What's McDermott doing? He can't get this team over the top. The 13 seconds in Kansas City is never going to be forgotten. A historic blunder by McDermott. And I obviously think Liam Cohen definitely has a coaching advantage here. I'm not hearing enough people talk about Cohen as coach of the year.
We talked about it briefly last week. He was 20-1 to win the award, which really? I didn't understand the odds. And it wasn't a knock on Vrabel.
He's won at San Francisco, won at Denver. He's done a hell of a job this year.
They're 13-4, and it's not like they were favorites to win this division, right? Matt. They were. Yeah. Houston was the favorite. It was. You know, we'll get to it later. But in our futures draft, my first pick was the Jags at 3-1 to win this division. Like they were a not as big of an underdog as the Patriots were. And if Vrabel wins the award, I have no issue with it. But it is wild to me that Liam Cohen in his first year leads a team to a 13-4 record and is not getting really that much discussion for coach of the year.
Tim, nice job, by the way, on your Jaguars pick in the futures draft.
You did better. We'll get to that a little bit later. But a good showing for VSiN Primetime, might I add, in our first ever. Could have been better.
Should have won it.
I would say best show from the two hosts.
No doubt about it.
quick update. We got a touchdown.
Redbirds on the board. And it's going to make it 14-6 with final minute before halftime.
Illinois State showing some fight as the dog, and the Redbirds into the end zone with 54 seconds to go. A nice lengthy drive there for Illinois State.
Right, 10 plays, 84 yards. You take 80 yards. You take 4.5 minutes off the clock, and you don't leave Montana State with much here before halftime. Here in the final minute, about 50 seconds on the clock. So Redbirds not going to go away here.
You know, Matt, we often like to poke fun at people with some bad predictions from time to time, but it's usually warranted. But sometimes you got to tip your cap and say, well done. And our buddy Nate Tice, who, by the way, will be on the show tomorrow at 7:15 Eastern. I really enjoyed Nate's analysis. We had his dad on, Mike Tice, just a couple weeks ago. But back in the preseason, Matt, we had Nate Tice on the program to give us some analysis and breakdowns of what he expected to see this upcoming year, and here's one of his favorite bets from the preseason.
Yeah, a lot of my gaze this preseason and throughout this process was going to the NFC, because I just think it's a wide open conference with a couple wide open divisions, particularly the NFC North and NFC West. Have a lot of good teams and good units, and it's just kind of been fun to try to piece that together. So I found like a lot of the action that I like, or the teams that I think are value for at least gambling wise, is in the NFC West, and the Seahawks is one of those teams. A team that won double digit games last year. Has an offense where they added a Kubiak to coach the system, which I think raises the floor. I think the offensive line of that Seahawks team last year obviously made the whole thing fall apart. And now I think that floor has been lifted, and the preseason early results, yes, there's the caveat, that's the preseason, did show a lot of early success or early returns. And that's without Charles Cross, their left tackle. I think that the running back, even with Kenneth Walker maybe being dinged up, I think Zach Charbonnet is a fine back as well. I think the passing game, Torrey Horton, a rookie they drafted in the fifth round, he'll help open up the system, or open up the offense, I should say. Sam Darnold's good in this offense. And I think this defense has a very legit shot to be a top five defense in the NFL this year. That's good against the rush, or good against the run and the pass. So it's a team that I think has a good chance of any in that division. And I think they have the longest odds. So they're the ones that I've looked at as one that I think this whole season I'm going to be high on. And I mean, even week one, they're 2.5 point underdogs. That's one I'm looking at as for value.
Not too bad. Now, he wasn't right about week one.
I wasn't right about week one. He's right about the rest. Yeah.
But yeah, nailed it. Nate Tice, really good analysis there, as the Seahawks not only win the division, they're the number one seed. What do you make of this Seahawks team, Matt, heading into the NFC playoff picture and their route to a championship?
I think the Seahawks are dangerous because of their defense, because they're very well coached. Also, they can run the ball effectively with Kenneth Walker. It all goes back to, I just don't trust the Seahawks to go the distance with Sam Darnold. And yesterday we're at the Westgate Superbook. Look at this Montana State offense just marching down the field. Bobcats, in 20 seconds, they've moved like 50 yards.
Tim, is Brent more of a Bobcats or a Grizz fan, or does he like both of them living up there in Montana?
You just Big Sky pro country. Montana and Montana State.
All right.
I'm sure he's rooting for Montana State.
Oh,
tonight.
I would imagine so. There. Wow. Oh,
look at this.
They might score a touchdown,
what?
Matt. Whoa.
What a play!
Oh, my.
Touchdown, Bobcats. Are you kidding me? Tim, they went down the length of the field in 35 seconds, right?
Dane Steele just leapt over a defender.
Wow.
And went into the end zone. That drive took 36 seconds. Three plays, 75 yards. Oh, and we're sitting here and be like, wow, good job, Illinois State. Yeah. Waiting. And Justin Lamson said, we're good. We'll
I'll
go
tell
down
you what, if you bet the under, you're sick by what happened right there. Absolutely sick. 75 yards.
You know what, Matt? You mentioned
no time at all.
You mentioned the Westgate Superbook. I want to hear that on the other side, but we got to tell people
tease,
about Omaha Steaks. Every Friday night, you talk about Omaha Steaks. You get to enjoy the food.
The chicken wings are outstanding, too. I know you think steaks first when you think Omaha Steaks, obviously, but the chicken wings are outstanding.
Well, how about getting 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings when you spend $129 or more, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Don't wait. Spend $129. Get 2 pounds of wings. Save 50% site-wide on steaks and more. omahasteaks.com/VSIN. What a touchdown by Montana State. The Bobcats trying to win the national title tonight.